33 years in the ministry here as your pastor. I praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for all that he has done. As I look back over these 33 years with very fond memories of what God has done, he's added people to our church. During that time, we have had children born both physically and spiritually, born again. We thank the Lord for those that he has added to our church that way. There are families that have been growing in the Lord. For all of this, we praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for what he has done. Amen. He is always faithful, amen, and he has been good. But the older I get, the more I consider what lasting effects has my life brought. When I stand before the Lord, will I hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I pray that that would be the case. But you know, I must face the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for my life personally. As a father, I give an account for my family. And as a pastor, I give an account for this church, for you. And some of you say, "Well, that's not fair." We might think that way, but that's the way God puts it there in our responsibilities. The more I get, the more I consider, well, there will be lasting effects. See, I know the song, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, when we see Christ." Amen. I know that to be a fact. There's no question, there's no doubt in my mind. But still, I have those questions. Will I hear, "Well done"? Have I done what pleases my Lord? And it is not just something that we ought to thank at the end as we get closer to the end of our life, but we ought to be thanking it every day of our life. Lord, am I living today to please you? Am I living today that you would be in your mind thinking that I am doing well as you have taught? This past week, God brought me face to face with these thoughts. You know, God does that sometimes. This wasn't the message that I had intended to preach this morning. But, you know, there have been certain times that I look back on that I remember that God did something and he made something extremely clear. And sometimes I don't even know how he did it and how it came about. This is one of them. This message, he literally put right in front of my eyes. And it was on the computer. And I don't know how it got there. It came up. I was looking for something else. I hit the button and the something else didn't come up. God put this up. And I said, "Wow." And I began to think about that and pray about that and look into that. And here, this message is the blooming outflow of what God brought before my thoughts. And I wanted to share with you, I've entitled the message this morning, "My Heart's Desire." And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 71. While you're turning there to Psalm 71, Paul shared his heart desire in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And he said in verse 1 of Romans 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." In other words, they have an energy, they have a sincereness there for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they are sincere, they have an energy, they are all about wanting to be, but they are wrong in what they are thinking. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You know that there is a righteousness that God makes available. And it's not by us rolling up our sleeves and trying to do the best that we can, trying to let the good works in our life outweigh the bad works in our life, and or things of that nature, which you hear all the time if you go out these doors and talk to people about, do they hope to ever make it to God's heaven? Many people are hoping, many people are thinking that they're okay, that they're not really bad people. They're generally good people. But you know, God doesn't say anything about that's what gets you to heaven. Matter of fact, he says a whole lot about that's not what you get, how you get to God's heaven. It is not us trying to establish our own righteousness. And that's what trying to do the best you can in good works is all about. But Jesus Christ, knowing that we could not do anything, God not knew that we could not do anything for our salvation, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ there to die in our place. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself on Calvary, and he paid the penalty of our sin. And in its place, as our substitute, he also gave unto us his righteousness. And so the righteousness that is of God that Paul talked about is the righteousness that is of faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only right, the only righteousness that will ever do. And that's the righteousness that we get when we understand that we're sinners. We understand that we can't do anything, that we believe and accept that Jesus Christ did it all when he died there on Calvary, and all we need to do is by faith receive what he did as our payment of sin, and we then have our sins completely forgiven and removed, and we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted into our life, deposited to our account, and that's the only thing salvation is or ever will be. And I pray that you have come to that realization. That was Paul's desire. I have a desire also that I want you to see here in Psalm 71. We're going to read just a couple of verses there. And that is in verses 17 and 18. He says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed," I think I'm there, "when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Father, I pray that you would help me to be able to share this truth today, that we would understand, and that each one would understand my heart's desire, and that we would see too, Lord, it is your desire for this to be accomplished. May you give me your strength, your power, Lord, right now to be able to share clearly this truth, and that we will leave out of here today with a clear understanding of what you expect from each one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayerful desire here, seen in this, is two parts there, past and a future. The past in verse 17 says, "God has taught me from my youth." I look back in my youth when I was in Danville, Virginia at the age of 13, and God opened my eyes to the fact that I personally needed to make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got saved, was baptized, and God then said, he didn't say actually, but he did through what he did. He moved us out of Danville, Virginia, down to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And he showed us a church that my dad and mom and our family began to go to. And in that church, Falls River Baptist Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, was a youth pastor named Frank Hamrick. And God used Frank Hamrick with a protein Bible study program that he has used that in my life in those years as a teenager until I went off to college. He used that to teach me, direct me, and God led me to make a choice to go into the ministry. And from that, God taught me from my youth, just like he did with Timothy over in 1 Timothy, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes this, he says there about Timothy in verse 15, But that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It goes on to speak about all scripture then is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished unto all good works, equipped to do that. God taught him, Timothy, from his youth. God has taught me from my youth concerning the truth of God's word, and I praise the Lord for faithful men who have taught me over the years and what he has done during that time slot. By God's power, it says there, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. It is by God's power, as we have made known this morning, that it's possible for us to do anything. And it is through God's power that he has allowed me to be able to teach for 33 years in this church the truth of God's word and to share that truth with you. My ministry verse that I chose 33 years ago here in September was the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10. I just shared it with you, reminded you just recently about it. But there are four things. Jabez asked the Lord, and the Lord granted those four things. Four things that I've asked the Lord for in this ministry that he has given me over the years. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, number one. Certainly I have desired God's hand of blessing to be upon me in this ministry that he has given. Number two, to enlarge my coast, that is to spread the borders of my influence. Opportunities to minister. There have been times that I have done funerals of people that I don't know, primarily because I know that God would allow me to stand before people that might not ever set foot in a church, but I can stand before them and honestly say, even if I don't know for sure where that person is, I can honestly say if they were standing here today, this is the truth that they would want you to know. And I know for a fact that that is the truth. And to have that opportunity, and where it may be to do a wedding. If you know that I've told people, and I have one just recently, they asked me if I would conduct their wedding. I don't think they're saved. I don't think they go to church anywhere of what I've seen already. I told them, well, look, this is the way I handle that. I don't marry anyone unless I can sit down with them and have premarital counseling. And I said, if you're willing to do that, I'm willing to talk with you. And they said, yeah, they will do that. You know what that affords me? That affords me two people sitting in my office, 4 feet away from my face, captured, where I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ as well as give out their counseling. If God would expand the borders of opportunity, I prayed. And not only to enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me. God's hand is God's power. And certainly, there's not a thing that I've ever wanted to do in this ministry that I wanted to do it without God's hand of power being upon me. And we are to acknowledge, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. And we must acknowledge our inadequacies and ask for his power so that the glory might be in this earthen vessel that is nothing, that the excellency of the power may be in God and not of us. And so we need to realize that. So that he would bless me, that he would enlarge my coast, that his hand would be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil and the evil one, that it might not grieve me. That is the prayer that I have been. That's the verse that I chose. And that's my desire. And that's what he's talking about. That thou hast taught me from my youth, and hereto I have declared thy wondrous works, God's goodness, and what he has done. In the future there, now that when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power unto everyone that is to come. There's the talking about sharing the truth of God with this generation. You're this generation. And you've got another generation coming after you, your children. And your not only your grandchildren, your children and your grandchildren, but the generations after that as the Lord allows. And so we have a responsibility to share. Years ago I shared a truth, and I won't go into it in the time slot here, but how that it only takes a couple of generations before salvation is not seen in a family anymore. You know, as a parent, we may be strong in our walk with the Lord and what we believe, but if we don't pass that on to our children to have a personal relationship, not just a salvation that they enjoy, but their personal walk with their Lord and God, that it's His, not yours. If they don't catch that, if they don't understand that, then it won't be nearly as effective when it comes to your grandchildren who may not even want to follow the Lord at all. And so we have a responsibility to share that truth. First of all, to have the right walk with the Lord ourselves, and then to make sure that we pass that on to our children so that they can have their own personal correct walk with their God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they can have that responsibility to pass it on even further. That's the way it works. This generation and the next. Paul said that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. Remember the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to do what? To teach others also. And so we're to take the truth of God's word, and we're to commit it unto faithful people so that they can take that truth and then commit it unto others, to teach it to others to follow. Passing it on, not just to this generation, but to the generations that are to come. My goal has been to make sure that you know the truth of God's word, and to make sure that you know how to make others know the truth of God's word as well. That's my prayerful desire. Then I have a purposeful desire. If you flip a couple of pages over to Psalm 78, Psalm 78, many times I've used it on Father's Day. Verse 5, it talks about in the middle of verse 5, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children. Your fathers, on Father's Day, we emphasize our responsibility to take that truth and to pass it on. But you know, it's not just for Father's Day. It's all the time we ought to be doing that and ministering to that in our families, to the generation that we have and the generation to come after us, and to their children after them. That's the purposeful desire that I have. To me, as a spiritual father to you as spiritual children, I have a responsibility to do. And it says in verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears unto the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children or our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. The praises of the Lord, who he is. We ought to be sharing that truth with our kids and grandkids. And the wonderful works of God, what he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. A testimony, a law, that's God's word that he's talking about. Which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children. So we're to teach about who God is. We're to teach about what God's done. We're to teach about his word that he has given us. And verse 6, why is that? Here's the purpose. that this generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that, for this purpose, that they might set their hope in God. That hope is a confidence. That they would set their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, His words. And so we have that responsibility, not just to know and learn God's truth, God's word ourselves, and to walk in it, but we are to have that truth that we pass on to our children and to our grandchildren, and we seek to have that process to continue, that they would set their confidence in God and not forget His works, neither forget His word, but showing that they understand and believe it and follow in it. So, my prayerful desire is that they may learn the truth and we may pass it on. My purposeful desire can be said almost the same way, that we would learn God's truth, God's word, His works, who He is, what He's like, and that we would pass that on to others as well, that they may learn to pass it on to their children and to their co-workers and to their friends. And then there's lastly a post-ministry desire that I have. If you flip over to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, this verse speaks about a pastor as a church spiritual leader, and it says two things. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Two things that I see here. First of all, spiritual children are to submit to a pastor's spiritual instruction. May I remind you that the instructions and the words and the encouragements that I give unto you are just not mine. If it's just what I think and what I believe personally, that doesn't matter. If it's not tied to the authority of this book, is not worth listening to. Amen. But I have sought to take the truth of this book and to teach you those principles, to teach you those oracles, to teach you what God has said and what God thinks. Because what He thinks and what He has said, that is what matters. That is the only truth that there is. And so when I teach you, I'm speaking from what God says. And if I'm not speaking from what God says, disregard it. But if it is what God says, then heed it exactly what it is. It's God's word. It has been given with a purpose to complete us, to equip us unto every good work. And we are to believe it, and we are to show it by our obedience and submission to it. So spiritual children are to submit to a pastor's spiritual instruction as he gives the word of God, therefore submitting themselves to God. The reason is I must give an account for your spiritual life, as I said earlier as we begin this particular message. Hopefully, I would be able to do that with joy and not look and say, hey, so-and-so has been, I don't want to get eye contact with anybody right now, but so-and-so has been, kind of a thorn in the flesh here, of dragging their feet, not wanting to listen, and, I don't have anybody in mind with that, honestly. But I pray that in each case, as God holds me accountable in your life and I give a report, I would be able to do it with joy, with gladness, not with sadness, as to what we're talking about. 23 years ago, September of 2000, I chose another verse. It's what I call my family verse. And it's not just for my family physically, but my family spiritually. It is 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. That I may give an account with joy. Walking in truth is that which produces that joy. For my personal children, can I say that my personal children have all the time, in every situation, always walked in the truth? No. But I can tell you, every time that I heard that they did, there was great joy in my heart. Can I say that every one of you, every time I've heard of something in your life, it was because you were walking in the truth? Yeah, I can't always say that to be the case either. But every time I do, it brings great joy to my heart because of it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have shared with you my heart's desire, my prayer to God for you. It's my continuing goal in your life that you may know the truth of God's Word. God's Word is the truth. That you would do that truth, that you would walk in that truth. We have a church theme verse. Teach me thy way, O Lord. God's way is the truth. I will walk in thy truth. And when we do, it creates a great joy in my heart. All of that has been a great purpose. And I pray that it would continue to be a testimony in my family physically as well as in our family spiritually. It may not be perfectly, but I pray that as a testimony of hope, that would be the truth. That you know the truth of God's Word. And that you walk in that truth. Because that is not only what brings joy to me, but that's what's going to bring joy to you. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. May God help us to have that as our heart's desire. So where are you in the progress? Do you know the truth of God's Word? Are you taking every opportunity that you have to be exposed to the teaching and the preaching of God's Word? We have Sunday school. We have this morning worship time. We have youth ministry and our adult Bible study. We have our Wednesday night, and we teach on Wednesday night for a few minutes there, as well as having our emphasis on prayer. Personal Bible study in your home, where you take God's Word, you open up, you begin to read and study on a regular basis. Are you seeking to know God's truth? It doesn't just happen automatically. Study to show thyself approved. We talked about that word study means to put forth that effort. Exercise yourself to do it. Do you know the truth? Are you learning the truth? Do you do the truth? Are you walking in that truth? Just to know the truth doesn't mean that you're going to do it. You have got to submit to that process. Are you walking in the truth? And are you sharing that truth with others, with your children, grandchildren, with others that you come in contact with? The truth of God's Word. You cannot share what you do not know. And so it's important to take those steps in order to understand, to be able to complete and do and share the truth. That's my heart desire for each one of you. Let's bow our heads, please. I told you the truth of what I know of God's heart. I know it's the truth of my heart. But you know, you've got to make the choice of how you respond to it. It's one thing to leave out and pat me on the back and say, good job, I really enjoyed that. But you know, I'd much rather hear that my children walk in truth. That's the desire that God has for each one of us. May we be found faithful in His eyes. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've made that choice to receive Christ as my Savior, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sin, but you know, I never really have come to a point where I have personally made that choice. If that is you this morning, why not today? In just a moment, we're going to have an invitational song. As we sing that, I would love, if that is your situation, I would love for you just to come forward and say, Pastor, can someone talk to me about clearly explaining how I can trust Jesus Christ today? We'd be glad to do that. Father, I pray that as we close this service right now, that you may allow our hearts to respond to you in such a way that you would be pleased with everything that we are about to do and that we're about to say. You would be pleased and that it would glorify you. Every choice, I pray, Lord, may you have your way with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.